Praise the Lord. I know this is a Thanksgiving weekend and people are partying, and it's wonderful to see you guys in the house of the Lord this morning. There's one thing that I know about ministry. Let me say this. Life is in phases. The same thing with ministry. There is things that God bring in a certain phase, in a certain time. And yesterday night, I think I had a good time yesterday. Rather this morning, and I was having time to pray. And this word keep coming about the phase. And I was praying for this. And, you know, the way you pray and you push. And I saw a picture of a woman giving birth. But there is need to push through. Listen to me. When God starts doing something, He always expects us to do something. Now, every promise of God has something in it for it to be birthed. For example, the Bible says, talk about Jesus, and there was this priest who was praying until when she heard about Jesus was born. When Jesus was brought to him, he said, now my vision is over. Though this was the Son of God, this was the plan of God, there was somebody who was set to travail all through his life until Jesus was born. Now, I want you to understand, this is the true promise of God, but God strategically positioned people who will be praying for the birth and for the manifestation of Messiah. So his work was that. And even the ministry of Jesus, as much as he was God, there were women who were in his ministry praying and traveling until which God had purposed his birth. And I felt like there is a child being birthed in this ministry, but God is calling for a time of traveling and a time of warfare. Now, listen to me. God is not looking at how many people are here, because he has a bigger vision of what he is doing. And the problem with the mindset of the people is because we still walk with our physical mind to see what is happening. And I saw like a war field whereby as you fight in the war, there is strategically the way you had to position yourself so that you can be able to launch the missile. I want you to know everything that you see in the physical, it is still spiritual interpretation. And there are things that God is pushing this church to fight and at the same time traveling through. Did you get that? It is both fighting and also bathing what God is doing. There is a seed. There is something that God is going to birth. And sometimes we talk about long term. I feel this is something that God is birthing within a very short time. And as people start praying, the enemy realizes, but it is the intensity that people put in that you give an upper hand. I know sometimes you may not understand what I'm saying, but you see faces, you see what is happening. I'm speaking very prophetically, and I know something, it is powerfully about to happen. But God is asking for participants. God is asking for people. He is telling people, just come. I want us to walk through together. Praise the Lord. And sometimes God now is calling as we go through for more hours of prayers, for more hours, for more participants, to add the army that you travail, that you pray through and fight until this is born. I know we are busy. I know we are up and down. But I want you to tell yourself, I can make it. It is always very important to join with what God is doing. It, to be with the hand and hold hands and say, I was part of this. I was part of what God did this particular season. We are in this season, and that is what God wants us to do. And I want to believe before January, as we go to next year, there are things that God wants to do these few weeks down the line. I want you to understand the church has mainly, I can say, some levels of growth. When we talk about the church, we talk about you as the church. And you grow spiritually, you grow to a place whereby you, the church is health glowing, whereby the word of the Lord is coming to you, you are glowing in the word, you are being fed the word. That is what we call a healthy church, where people are glowing in the word, are glowing in prayers. But do you know sometimes God may be working in a church, but basically, you personally, you are not glowing as the church, as individual. I'm not talking about the building. I'm not talking about the name, the Pentecost, or the whatever we call many waters, empowerment. I'm talking about you as the church. And there is also another level whereby we see the numerical growth, whereby now the church, the body now, joined together, they glow. The Bible says the church glue together. And as God worked through, he wants us to combine those stuff together, whereby the individual are glowing health-wise. I have come to understand some stuff. The enemy will always keep you so busy that you lose the part of your health, spiritual growth, and in perception, you think you are accomplishing something, which of course, physically you are accomplishing. But I want you to understand, when Jezebel and Elijah hand the word of the Lord that I'm sending the rain, and the rain is coming. Now the word of the Lord came to Jezebel. I came to Elijah and told him, I'm going to send the rain. And Jezebel went, and they were very far, and they were close to home. Elijah was still in the mountain, seeking, traveling, building that connection with God. Again, I want you to understand, as much as God promised Elijah there will be rain, Elijah still went there and said, I know you promised, but I'll study there until the rain came. Now, the Bible says when the thunder came, there was a war with God took Elijah and he fight himself ahead of Jezebel. I want you to understand there is a spiritual growth. There is somewhere you can be in touch of God and people can be far. I'm talking about the physical thing we work. They may have, you know, the way like the way African they talk, the way they have plot, the way they have achieved. But God connect you. God spiritually bring you somewhere. You connect with the God. What people have done for years, you like you overtake them in seconds. It is the enemy who has blighted our spiritual eyes and we only tarried just on the service. It's like when Jesus came and Peter, they were been fishing the whole night, they were been there, and he told them, put your net on the deeps. There is something that God is calling people. Now think about this very simple concept. Many of us in Africa, before we came here, we were very our lives changed, and God did something. Some of us we spent times with God in Kalula, in forest, in praying. You got somewhere with God, and some people who are in a very good families, you overtook them, you came here. Now, I want you to understand, there you connected, and then that spiritual standard with God, and the relationship, and the commitment, and everything, it took you, and all of a sudden, you find yourself in America. Then the enemy whispered, it's over. You are home. The time of fasting here, You can fast, but you know that thing. But I want you to understand there is a level you can reach whereby David said, "Early in the morning will I seek you." Right in the afternoon, this was a king. He was the man. He was by then it was the superpower. But the guy understood the concept. And he connected, and that's why he did what he did. I want you to understand the reason why the church and the things of God have become normal. And I'm talking about from the level of our personal relationship. You know, we have built up a drive-through. We listen to a TV message. We think it is. The enemy has brought us out of the place whereby when we fellowship, the corporate anointing that flow when people are together. It's like I was praying, you were playing on your own, everybody was praying. Pastor is anointed with the grace of prophecy. Pastor is anointed with the grace of healing. The other one is anointed in a grace of prosperity. But when we pray together, we join together, that grace combined and that corporate anointing flowing, and we fight all of ourselves, we are benefiting from each person's gift because there is a corporate anointing. There are things that the enemy has brightened the church, and that is why the enemy has put people so busy they have lost the concept of fellowship. He wants you to understand, listen to a TV message, you think you are blessed, but he don't want you to participate and be part of that corporate, that flow, that joining together, that we interconnect with the other people's gift. When you come here and you worship the splendor, the aroma's splendor, and when I worship the gift and the grace of God's splendor, and we combine it in this room and you find things are happening. Come on, am I speaking to somebody? It is until our eyes of understanding are open, we can understand and get to understand the deep things in the eyes of the Lord, what God is doing. That's why the enemy will always put you and make you busy and put you up and down and make you see the church like a regular church. I want you to understand, no matter what, decide, I want to be in the fellowship of the believers. Now, I'm not looking, and I want you to get something. I'm not talking about being somewhere. I'm talking about being in a healthy fellowship. Because there's another thing the enemy will do. He'll take you into a congregation other than into a fellowship. There are two differences. Being in a congregation whereby the congregation, they are singing. And that's why the enemy will make, if people now join in the church, he always reduce and take out the believers, the participation, how believers come, and then he just make it a congregation. He just make people just meet without the real. That's why you see the church now has compromised so much. And now we have just become just another church. We just become another congregation. Like yesterday, we were in Giddy's. That Giddy's place, and it's just another congregation. But I want you to understand the church is complete different scenario. Complete different. And the minute we understand the God concept and the intention of the church, that's when we make the difference. Because when we talk about the church, we are talking about the altar. We are talking about where the supernatural meet with the natural. We are talking about where things happen. We are talking about a theater where God come and do his operation. But the enemy, you just make casual and just make you feel you just make you an attendance, but you don't just be there. Hallelujah. We are in the last days, and God wants to bring something different, and already God has started working. You may be there staring and thinking that God is not working, but God is powerfully working, preparing the church that you usher Jesus and his second coming. And that's why sometimes God will even come when he starts preparing a body like this. He will sometimes come and take out, and it's like cutting the branches so that he can prepare the army. That you hold what and understand exactly what God can do. Who don't come to who they are, but it's what God has done in their lives. Who God is. I want to watch what God will be doing in the next few weeks. Because I believe we will not just stay there and wait for God to use other people. We are part of it. Come on, am I speaking to someone? Am I speaking to someone? Let me go to the book of 2 Kings. That is not one I have planned. But I believe that God is speaking to someone in a way. And God is preparing someone. I don't know whether, Pastor, you can allow this, but I felt either on Saturday, for some few weeks down the line, we just give it more time and invite people. And either on Saturday night or Friday night, like from 6 or through, and we push through. We are busy, but we can push through and make it happen, I know. And either Friday night or Saturday night, we can set a time whereby we say, for the next weeks, until God do what he has purposed, you tarry here. Come on, am I speaking to you? Will you tarry here? You be here, we come, we pray until... Think about it. Let's use the normal things that we see. Think about how we go, we spend good time in friends and all that. But how many times have we spent in the presence of God and be part and tell God until you do what you have purposed? Why am I saying this? One time we were going to preach somewhere in Uganda, and a lady had a growth, and she had never talked about anybody. And this growth was glowing and glowing and glowing. And we went, and when we went there, it became so painful that it kind of like stopped everything. And we looked, we said, there is no way we could come all the way from Uganda, and we were preaching hope, and now we are looking for the best hospital to take this lady. And we decided we'll pray until God do it. We started praying. I remember we started praying aloud 2-3 in the afternoon. We prayed, and the pain started going down. We prayed. At aloud 8, the growth has shrunk halfway. And some people say, now I think God is doing it. You know, I told them, if it has shrunk halfway, that means it will be gone. If God has done it halfway, that is indication there is power working, and as we continue, it will continue. Do you know we pushed? At aloud 3 in the morning, it was just like a small thing remaining. Remember, it was just like this hand. It was just like that small. And we were like about to celebrate. I said, yes, as we celebrate even this, it will end. We ended up praying the following day aloud 10. We tarried, we prayed, and it was completely gone, and that problem was gone. Tarrying until he do it. You know, we are too fast. We just come and throw some prayers, and the following day we are expecting magnificent things. But I want you to see the concept. Jesus stayed so much in prayers and tarrying and pushing and pathing through until the disciples came and said, teach us how to pray. This guy is there. He do miracle, he go back to prayers. Until now, They looked at him and they said, teach us how to pray. Things don't just happen. They are made to happen. I'll repeat again. Things don't happen. They are made to happen. You tell me, with the pastor, with all the pastors that are here, with everybody here, if we tarry, what will happen? Think about that. If we tarry, let me give you another example. Another day, I prayed, and it was like, I prayed until 3 in the morning. I was praying for financial breakthrough. There was a quick miracle I needed for about $1,000. So I just needed something quick. And amazingly, I was just telling God, give me money. Then the following day, I was coming from Kemodo's house and someone hit at my back of the car. Then I told my wife, someone hit me. And she was like, nobody. And that lady had already, I called the State Farm, but already the lady had called and said, I hit someone. And like, we are exchanging the phone. So the following day, they were like, hey, we want to, and they pay me good money. They pay me more than what I needed. But I want you to understand. But I want you to understand something. I want you to see something. You can stay there. God can work in any way to make it happen. He may send someone. You remember those days we could pray? These brothers, they were praying so much. They have just gotten born again. They were taught to pray. They just believed in staying in God. And they prayed with a lot of foolishness, but God still worked. They said, they prayed and they said, God, you said, you shall not give us bread alone. But you see, they were using that scripture. But the way it is spoken, he was speaking about the bread as the word of God, but they said, bread alone. So, Lord, we have the bread. We need something to drink with. And then a woman was just going somewhere and had the milk and sugar. I think she was going to visit someone and said, oh, brother, so-and-so live in these areas. Just stepping in. They were like worshiping and waiting and all that. And the woman just there, you know, I was going there, but it's late. I was to see, but I had milk and all this. Do you guys mind? And now they had the bread, and now God provided milk and sugar. But I want you to understand, the same God is still the same God who we have it. I believe that God is raising a distinguished ministry here, a distinguished church. And if it will be unique, it will not be birthed normally. Remember, Samuel could not be birthed normally. I was preaching somewhere after this, after Sunday, and I told them, Samuel could not be birthed just normally. Hannah had to wait, travail, push through, because the child was not, will not become just a normal child. Penina had normal boys, normal kids. But when Hannah gave birth, he gave one of the greatest prophet in history. When God wants such a ministry to give birth something unique, he will push you somewhere for you to travail something unique. That's why it's not happening like any other church. I repeat again. It is not happening like any other church, because it's not like any other church. It is unique. With a message, with a purpose. Am I speaking to someone? It's normally things. You know, God is not in the service. You have to dig deep. And God, you put some treasure so that people, they put value on it, they invest on it, so that when that thing is birthed, they'll not just boast and say, "Hey, kanithaka itu." You know our church? They'll just look and say, "Lord, we give you the glory." There are so many times that ministry, they have been blessed and they have taken the glory for themselves. And God this time is not raising self-gloried ministry. He's raising his ministries, his work, where it is him. And when you pay, you put that, you as you pay, as you travail, the self goes, and God just put himself. And when people look and people come here, you look and say, "This is the doing of the Lord. This is the doing of the Lord." I was talking to the pastor. I left, and the church we left has gone to another level. And I remember there was a time we could go to prayer and come back, and it's like things harden more. And one time as we prayed, I remember we went with three ladies, and we were praying somewhere on your way to King'ong'o. There was a forest there. So we went like on Wednesday, and we were praying and pushing and praying. And God spoke to this lady and said, "God has done it. And God is bringing an army that even if, Pastor, you go," by then I have not even known I'll come to America, "it will still remain." And then when we come the next following Sunday, even some people of praise team missed. Even the praise team, very committed people, something happened, they were not there. Remember, God has spoken a word and you feel inside you. And you're waiting the following Sunday, you meet now that God have touched people. But I'm telling you, before 2-3 months down the line, the church grew from 30 people, we start hitting 200 people. And now the church is still growing, it's a big church. Because most of the time, if God speaks and things start turning straight away, most of the time you will relax before the child is free out and wiped. And that's why he just sometimes hold, so that we can understand there's still more pushing. Because when sometimes God speaks, we go direct to relax. And that's sometimes he will withhold things so that we can continue pushing. We can continue traveling. We can continue doing what God has called us to do. I believe some of you guys, before long, you come here, and when you look aloud, you start crying. You say, "Surely, there is God. There is God. There is God." That's what God is doing. Now, let me quickly just speak something in the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 24. 2 Kings 6, chapter number 24. The Bible says, "And it happened after that, this, that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria." Now, I want to jump because it's a long story. Besieged Samaria, and there was a great famine in Samaria, and indeed they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 8 shekels of silver, and 1/4 of the kebab of dough dropping from 5 shekels of silver. Then as the king was passing by the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, "Help me, O king." And he said, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I find help for you? For the threshing floor is chapter 6. I'm reading. Now I'm in verse 27. And he said, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I find help for you? From the threshing floor or from the wine place?" Then the king said to her, "What is troubling you?" And she answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.'" Now, let me jump to verse 32. But Elisha was sitting on the house, and the elder were sitting with him, and the king sent a man's hand of him. But before the messenger came to him, he said to the elder, "Do you see how this son of Manra has sent someone to take away my hand? Look, when the messenger come, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. It is not the sound of the master's feet behind him." And while he was still talking to him, there was a messenger coming down to him. And the king said, "Surely this calamity is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord's longer?" Then Elisha said, "Hear the word, Lord. Thus says the Lord. Tomorrow, about this time, a shear of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 shear of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." Then I'll jump to that's chapter 7. Now I'll jump to verse 3. Now there was 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit there, we shall die also. Now therefore came, let us surrender to the army of Samaria, and they keep us alive. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall all only die." And they lost at the twilight to go to the camp of Syria. And when they had come to the outskirts of the camp to their supplies, no one was there. For the Lord had caused an army of the Assyria to hear the noise of the chariot and the noise of the horse and the noise of the great army. So they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the king of Hite and the king of Egypt to attack us. Therefore they arose and fled twin light and left the camp intact, their tent, their horse, and their donkey, and they fled for their lives. And when the lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into the tent and ate and drank and drinking from its silver, gold, and cloth, and went and hid them. So they came back and entered another tent, and they came some also and went and hid it. So when they said to one another, "Are we not doing light this day?" So they had to go back and call the other people. There is one first. Verse 13. I'm jumping. I just want to shorten the story. "And one of the servants answered and said, 'Please let several men take 5 of the remaining horses which are left in the city. Look, and they may either.'" So I wanted to look at this verse that says, as the Elijah said, they took back the food to the people and they ate. Now, I want to speak a simple message here. You can continue reading the message later on when you go home. I want to speak about hope in hopeless situation. Tell your neighbor there is still hope. Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, God is giving me hope. I know things may look so hopeless that you may look at the situation, and I'll take very short time. Things may look very hopeless, and you may like, I don't know what to do. When you look at your life, there are things that are so hopeless. But I want you to understand there is always hope in the hopeless situation. Because when God intervenes in any situation, he has the power and ability to change. The Bible says, though the tree may be cut and the stump is dead and no hope is there, with God there is hope. I want you to look around and tell yourself, I have hope. Something is happening. Because physically something may not be happening, but in the spiritual world, God is working things that are not physical, but in the spiritual, God is working. I want to look at this church and say, empowerment, there is hope in this church. There is hope in praise and worship. There is hope in finances. There is hope in every situation. And you know, most of the time, God, you come and speak when things look so dead and tell you what will happen. He came to Elijah, to Abraham, when he was twice dead. And he told him, you will become the father of the nation. When things are like this, God come and talk to empowerment. I'm making you a distinguished church. When you look at that side, nobody's there. When you look at the back, nobody's there. When you look aloud, you are few of you. But God stepped in and said, I have already made it. It is only the manifestation. So there is hope. Here, I am already working what you cannot see, because faith, it is the ability to see this unseen world. Because I'm not the physical, I'm spiritual God. I work first the spiritual things first, line up things, make up the foundation, make strategize things before I come to manifest. Though physically, Abraham's, you look, you don't have nothing inside you. You look like there is all the sense, all medical things you may talk about. Your wife is past menopause. In fact, the Bible says the womb of Sarah was twice dead. But God come and say, I'm doing it. I have hope in this. Out of you, I shall give you generation. Out of you, I'm birthing something. Out of this church, I'm making a foundation where I'll spread missions to the world. When you go to Europe, I'll meet Sister So-and-so and see preaching there and say, you know, greeting from Pastor Tony from Empowerment Church from Kenya. Now she is preaching in London. But remember, God will speak to you when things look like nothing is happening. This time there was a drought in the city. The Bible says the king of Syria has besieged the whole city and things look so hopeless. There was no inlet of food. Nothing was coming until the head of donkey was so costly you could not bore it. The dung of my madutula. What do we call it? Of dove was being sold. It is in your Bible. I never put it. It was so expensive. Until these ladies, they decided to eat one of the kids because now the situation was so hopeless, they have to eat one another until the last one. And most of the time in the ministry, when God is doing something and want to bring something, the situation may look so hopeless. The situation may look so worse. But remember, though the situation was so hopeless, Elisha, the man of God, was still in the city. Come on, am I speaking to you? God was still there. His working was still there. His men were still prophesying. His word was still going through. Though the situation was so hopeless. You know, sometimes when a church goes through some stuff, people start looking and say, God has left. Man, God is no longer speaking to pastor. God is no longer speaking. Things are not happening. But remember, the word of the Lord was still with Elisha in the midst of hopeless situation. So the situation was so hopeless. A time came now, Elisha said, tomorrow, a time like this, the flour, you'll be so cheap, it will be sold for a dollar. Things, you start happening. I'm moving once again. A time has come for me to act. Listen to me, empowerment, church. No matter the physical, God is speaking. God is working in the midst, inside the hopeless situation. And he is saying, I'm speaking, I'm working here. I'm raising an army. I'm raising a generation. I'm pushing through. I'm birthing something. Where others, you come and ask, how do you do things here? But remember, he will speak in times of hopelessness. When everybody has left, so that when God comes, they will not say, I told the pastor. Sometimes God, you let it get it to such a situation so that you can understand who he is. And the Bible says, outside the city, there were four lepers. These people, they were told, they were cut. If they walk, they could walk like, you know, one step, nothing much. They couldn't even go fast. They were sick. They were thrown outside the city because they were the most hopeless situation. They could infect other people with the leprosy. You know, most of the time, people, you throw you out because they think you don't come from a strong church. You are not born from a strong family. Your family doesn't have a name. You don't have the title. Maybe you are not educated to this level. You are not in our own capacity. You are not in our own troop. You are not like this. And people may throw you outside the city. Though you are talking together, they don't see you. You are outside the people, although you may be together. Have you ever been gone somewhere and you are with the people, and when they talk, they don't see you? You are completely outside them. They don't see you. They don't recognize. They have their own territory. You are outside the territory. You are different. You are outside. You are completely different person from them because they have put you outside the city. For you, you are done with them. You are the most hopeless person. Though you may be with them, they don't see you there. So these people, they were put outside the city and people had cut off from them. If you die, die. When they call the churches in Dallas, they say, okay, they cut off the church. Oh, there's another empowerment church. Oh, they put the church outside. And even when you go there, oh, where church do you go? Oh, the one on Jocelyn. Because they have put you, the way they put the want is because they have put you outside the city. You are no longer with them. Oh, that's where you go? These people were just outside. They were neglected. they look at themselves. They said, if we stay here, we die. If we go forward, they may spare us. There is always power when people join together. That's why I told you in the beginning, you cannot just stay there and die. When you understand what God can do, you start making steps. That is why I was saying we need to join together and say it is time to join and pray. It is time to push through. It is time to do something. It is time to say we have stayed here for a long time. We have to make it. We have to move forward. And the Bible says they started moving to warn the enemy. Because back they couldn't go back. Because the people could not allow them inside the city. And where they were heading, it was tough because it's the same enemy who has besieged the city. That's where the hunger came. But when they step in, they start moving together. They start holding one another. Though I can pray for 2 hours, brother, let's go for another 15 minutes. Though I feel like I can worship, brother, let's help one another. You have a voice, and when my brother plays the keyboard, we are making a tune. They started going together. They said, though I come from 6 going home to work, I can stop by in the church and push through with other guys and hold on. I feel sleepy, but I feel like I want to go. They hold one another. The one, the legs were so cut, but they hold one another. They push together. They said, we can travail. We can pray. We can push through. We can wait on God. We can knock. We can fight together. Come on. They joined together. They called one another on the phone. Hey, remember we have players. Remember we are meeting. Remember we cannot study. We cannot stop until it happened. They shared their numbers. And they encouraged one another. And they prayed with one another. They said, I'm standing with you in prayers. We are fellow in one ship. We are one body of Christ. We are a body that is intertwined by the love of God, caring one another. We may have our differences because my feet is too short, because of the leprosy has eaten it too much. But bear with me. We will continue. Bear with me. We will go together. Hold on together. We will make it. We are strong as a team. We will make it because 1 will kill 1,000, but 2 will kill 10,000. We are making it. They could look aloud to the Sunday service, and when they got out, the first thing they look at, my sister was not here. I have to know, although I know they are having their Thanksgiving party, I have to check what is happening with them. I'll pray for them. I'll push through for them. I'll stand with them. I'll pray with one another. I'll stick with them. I'll do something to make it happen. They started moving. And the Bible says, as they have moved, they found they have moved so far. They are close to the enemy. And the Bible says as they were stepping, the God caused their feet. Though to them they feel like nothing is happening. But God made it sound to the enemy like thunders. The enemy felt like chariot. The enemy felt thunders and people and great army coming. Let me tell you something. You may feel like you are doing nothing, but in the spirit, something is happening. God is magnifying your step because God does not add. God is a God of multiplication. When you sow a seed, he multiplied double. When you do something, it just become a seed and God get a cloud to do his multiplication. That is what God did. He multiplied their step. He magnified their step. And as they stepped by the Syria hand, they thought now Israel had gathered all the kings to attack us. And some was making chapatis. They felt like it's better I leave them here when they are cooked, because if I eat them, I'll be too heavy to learn. Some, they left the chariot. And they land on feet. Listen to me. When you do those steps, small step, God is working. God has something, because for God to do something, he needs you to do something. The heart of God is you. We are the heart of God that God will use for that he can do that what he is purposing to do. It is only we have put ourselves aside. We are not working. We are not participating. We are not be part of the team. That is why God is still waiting. And the Bible says when they entered, nobody was there. They looked at the chapatis. They were lady. So he is taking this chapati. No, eating a little bit. No, that doesn't taste. That is with which oil? I think that is olive. I want to take this. They had a feast. I want you to understand God is calling us. But God is not calling us just to hear and just stay there. It is time to step. It is time for action. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, I can't leave you. In actual sense, I have to get your number right now. I need to know what is happening. I need to remind you of our next prayer time. Of our next pushing through. We need to make it happen. I know you are busy. I know you are up and down. Though we may come with all our kings, I will come with my kings. Because things don't happen on Sunday service. They'll happen before the Sunday service. And the Bible says, the food was so much until they said, we cannot just eat here alone. We have to call our brothers back home. Though they despised us, we can call them to dine with us. And see what God has done. Listen to me. God is going to do something that even those people who may have despised, they will just come. But this time, they will see what God can do. The Bible says the food was so much and the word of Elisha came to pass. There is hope in any situation. There is hope in your life. There is hope in this ministry. But as we join together, it's happening. The worst you be if we don't start making that simple step and moving through and pushing through and making it happen. There is hope. Some of us, their situation in our personal life, they look so hopeless. But I want you to understand, God is real. And he is working in that situation. Stop mourning and start looking at what God is doing. Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, don't sympathize with me. Push with me. God is making. I want you to close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to reflect on every situation that looks so hopeless in your life. And on that, I want you to see the hand of God crushing that situation. I want you to see the mighty hand of God moving. I want you to see the magnificent, the power of God, that God, the creator of heaven and earth, who said, let there be, and it was. Who said, I'll call those things that are not there as though they were there. Who create, who do things that we cannot expect. Who can say, let there be hand where there was no hand. Who can touch where nobody can touch. Heavenly Father, this hour, this afternoon, in the name of Jesus, we pray for one thing. that you shall open our understanding, our spiritual understanding, that we can see the deep things in your law, the things that you are doing, the things that are in the spiritual world, the things that nobody can see, oh God. People may have spoken and we may have literally taken the word. And right now we lay down every one of the men and we only believe in your report, oh God. We want to hold like little kids to the word that you tell us that you are going to do it. Lord, help us. Open our eyes. Open our understanding. Open us, so God. We want to see it. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I just want to request the pastor, as the praise and worship end up on Saturday, if it's possible, we can be meeting every Saturday and we continue pushing through and making it happen. Amen. Amen. Otherwise, God bless you.